Welcome back, everyone, to the Incredible Podcast. And I'm so excited because today we have someone who I found through a program called The Vortex with Shoshana Raven. And it's funny because when I stumbled upon Dana, I think it was, we were just talking about this right before we pressed record. It was on one of the like live calls that I was on before I actually joined the program myself. And I was like, who is this person? And then I looked her up on Instagram. I looked up Dana on Instagram and I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I was saying this to her before. It's like, she is so alive and so like fired up in her content. And it feels so spontaneous and like raw and unfiltered. And I was like, I need to have her like yesterday on the podcast. So I'm so excited about our conversation. Like, it's gonna be, I know already it's gonna be so juicy. And I cannot wait to share and like her and also hear her take on all of this. So, first of all, welcome, Dana. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm so happy to be here.
Yay. So tell me this. So what I've seen, I'll ask it like this. Have you always been this fired up and like alive when it comes to specifically your business?
No,
Okay.
definitely.
So tell me about the no time. So tell me what was going on back then that you were not the way that you are today.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I can tell you that I was a completely different human being and I didn't know who I was and I didn't know what my message was and I didn't know what I was doing. And ultimately, I mean, this is going to sound so maybe cliche or trite, but it all came together when I finally like got connected to my higher power and genuinely built a life on faith and got to know myself through that place because ultimately I really and I'll sum this up really quickly, but I found that trying to find myself in anything other than the source of what created me in the first place was futile, and I was trying to find that while building a business and it wasn't fun. And actually it was not just not life-giving, but it was I mean, that you want to talk about burnout. Yeah, that's like the best recipe for disaster is just trying to figure it all out on your own and not have a clue who you are. And yeah, and just do.
It's so interesting and it's so funny. I noticed myself when you said that. I was thinking about the different women I've interviewed, and I can't think of a single one who doesn't feel the same way in terms of the, like, and they all use slightly different terminology, but it's all about like that connection to source. And it's interesting because I noticed myself be like, oh, I don't want to put people off who are listening to this who are maybe not as connected to like source or a soul. But the irony is I feel the same way. I feel very strongly about what you just said and how it feels almost like the way I experienced it was like a grayed out version. Like life felt grayed out and like I felt a bit washed out and like grayed out. And then when I reconnected to like, whatever you want to call it, source, soul, whatever, it's like when everything felt so juicy again. And so it's and oh yeah, like so I guess I'm really curious, like what happened? Oh, I'm so curious about everything, but what happened for you to reconnect to source? Like, what needed to happen, or what was it in like one moment? Was it in one event, or was it more of like a gradual thing? Like, tell us about that.
Yeah, so I mean, just from experience with working with people and having my own experience, I do know that it can happen in an instant or it can happen gradually over time. You know, miracles really like there are no order to them, but I had that seed of desire, right? I had that passion for building this business and I was not going to stop. So I was going to do what ever I could. And at the time, you know, ego is driving me, which wasn't necessarily a bad thing because ultimately it was like I was a dog with a bone who was going to figure this out one way or the other. Come to find out, I can't figure out anything. And it's like really up to something bigger than myself. And that it's like, okay, so I'm asking every single day, like, this is my one thing. This is all I want. This is everything to me, is how do I make this work? And not just how do I make this work? How do I find the depth and the weight in my messaging that will allow me to move forward and not have to pivot again? Because I was so sick. I was like on this, I call it the hamster wheel from hell. I was just constantly running through another, what's my thing? What's my thing? Is it that? Is it that? Should I steal this methodology from somebody like Donald Miller? You know, I was trying to be a marketing coach at the time. And so I would, and I had a few clients, which, oh my God, like God bless them, because I did not know what I was doing. This is literally like 8 to 10 years ago. And I'm trying to teach them marketing based off of what I've learned, not what I've experienced, not what I actually know to be true. And I'm trying to help them find these like personal brand messages for themselves, but I'm trying to help them get deeper with themselves so that they can find something that will stick. But I couldn't do it for myself. So I am frustrated beyond belief. And drinking all the time. And the drinking, though, was not like, I mean, we could all easily blame it on the frustration, but ultimately, I am an alcoholic. And so I'm drinking more heavily than ever because I'm so upset and I can't figure this out. But at the same time, I'm starting to research like faith. I'm going, I don't know any other way. I don't know how to do this, but something's telling me that, you know, there's something there. So, long story short, I try to go back to my old childhood church. And I think this is why, you know, it's so easy to be like, ooh, I don't want to like ruffle feathers. It's because everyone has a past with faith, one way or the
That's
other.
true.
And childhood, religion, God, whatever it is, whatever your childhood conception is, ultimately doesn't have to be what your conception is now, but a lot of people don't understand that yet. And so, long story short, I tried out the old path. Like I went back to my childhood stuff and just couldn't do it. It just didn't match my values. I didn't understand it. And then I heard something about spirituality. I was like, what is that? Come to find out, it's what true religion is meant to, you know, do, is to connect you with your higher power. That's spirituality. And I read one book called When Things Fall Apart by Pema Chodron, and I started realizing like how attached I was to certain things, and alcohol being like the one. And it just kind of set me on this path of like, oh, what's the law of attraction? Oh, what's universe? Like, okay, what's all this stuff? And I just started like not knowing what I was doing. I just started meditating and like truly, I was drunk half of the time because I was such a severe alcoholic. So I'm meditating constantly, trying to get what I want. And I'm asking for the breakdown before the breakthrough. I begged for this. I just had this like intuition, and it was probably through what I was reading, all of these hardcore personal development books. I'm like, give me the breakdown. I don't know what it is. I need it. And I said, I will do anything. And I meant it. I will do anything. And lo and behold, one day and when I said I will do anything, in my head, I have this construct of like, I'll be given this speaking engagement and it's gonna be in front of like 5,000 people. And it's gonna be the scariest thing I've ever done in my life. And it's gonna be a breakdown. And then I'm gonna have a breakthrough. Yeah, that's like not how that happened. So I'm walking through my hallway when my now 8-year-old is two. I just put him to bed and I'm just like walking down the hallway and this thought comes out of left field. I mean, it just literally just drops into my head and it's we're going to Mexico in 30 days from that moment that I'm standing there. We have 30 days before we're going back to Mexico, me and my husband. And I had the thought that if I treat my husband the way that I treated him the last time we went to Mexico, which was our honeymoon, and I was a mess. I mean, I broke glass in the shower. I threw wine bottles off the balcony. I was physically abusive. Like, I was nuts. I was like, he will leave me and he is my soulmate. So, like, I can't do that. And I thought to myself, I'm just standing here, right? And this is all happening in a split second. My next thought was, well, I can't drink. And then my next thought was, I can't not drink. And I was like, oh my God, That's not good. And I was like, I need help. And I knew it. And it was like this moment of clarity that literally just flashed my whole future and my whole past before my eyes. And it was, you get to choose right now. You either choose to go get help tomorrow and humble yourself and learn something new and stop trying to do everything and figure it all out. And you will get everything you've ever wanted that you've been asking for, plus so much more. Or you can just not tell anybody that you had this thought. Keep it to
Oh,
yourself.
I love that. Isn't that funny? Oh, like before we keep going, because this is so, by the way, brilliant storytelling and just like so good, because I'm there with you. Like, and especially having put a child down, like there's something about that time when you've just put your kid down and it's like just you. And do you know what I mean? It's just you and you kind of, especially because when you've got a kid around, it's all, there's so much going on. And then you put the kid down, and it's like it's just you and you again. And so I could really like feel into that moment. But I think it's so interesting that you said I could not tell anyone and nobody would know. Like there is that feeling of like nobody would know. I could just go on being who I've been and I could continue doing what I've done. And the reason I'm just want to like freeze that moment is because I'm just thinking about everyone who's listening. And I know that right now they have probably something like that on their hearts. Like it could be anything from like pivoting in their business or creating something brand new, launching something, starting a project, something, investing in something big, moving countries, like anything, like a big thought, a big nudge, a big whisper, a big feeling, whatever it might be. And it's like, it'd be so easy. It's so much easier, in my view, to follow societal norms and to follow, like to keep doing what you've been doing, and just like keep being the person you've been. And so it were like it requires so much discomfort and like I guess ickiness to really move differently. So continue on. So you were there, you're in that, like you're in that hallway, you've just noticed that thought, and you're like, these are my two paths. Like I can either like like basically humble myself, which by the way, I really like the way you phrase that as well, because I think that's yeah, so I love that. Or you just don't tell anyone and you just keep living what you're living. So keep going.
Yeah, no, and it was just like this moment of I also knew intuitively that this moment might not ever come again where I have a choice, because
Right.
for so long I lived without feeling like I had a choice in drinking. When you're an addict and you are so sick and you are so suffering, you genuinely don't have a choice. I mean, it's it, if
Right.
there's alcohol in front of you're gonna drink it.
Yeah.
I'll speak for myself. If there was alcohol in front of me, I was going to drink it and I was going to continue to behave in ways that allowed me to continue to drink.
Yeah.
And so intuitively, I knew I had this split second to make a decision. And it was going to be a decision. It wasn't going to be an intention. And I decided right then and there,
That way, let tell
like
me that's so good. It wasn't an intention, it was a decision. Tell me the diff well, let's pause on that. Tell me what in your world, what's the difference between those two?
An intention is something that I can continuously put thought into. I can think about that again. I'll clarify that as I go. A decision is definitive. I've made a decision and I'm doing it, and there's no turning back.
I love that. All right, keep going. That's so beautiful. Keep going.
Thanks. Yeah, and so I made that decision and I went right to my husband and I said, "Hey, I think I'm an alcoholic and I'm going to go to AA tomorrow morning." And what else to say about it? And he was like, "What?" He was like, "Are you sure?" And so like I was so good at hiding alcohol and hiding my alcoholism, which took 100% of my energy at all times to hide, right? So I had turned into a shell of a being because I'm defending myself constantly. I'm keeping people away from me so they don't know. And it's not just the smell, it's like just seeing me. Like, I don't want you to know that I'm wasted right now. And I was very good at playing it off to the point where most people in my life were like, "Are you sure?" I was like, oh my God, do you know every time you turn your head around to watch TV, I'm going under the sink to grab the vodka and chug it? You don't know that because that's all I'm doing. So I made that decision. And basically, not basically, in that moment, I experienced something that, like, it answered all of my questions in one moment. I was completely relieved of the obsession to drink alcohol, right? I've never. So, if you know anything about addiction, the drug itself is not the problem. It is the solution to a much deeper problem, to a spiritual problem, right? So, for most people, you fix the spiritual problem over time, a lot of times using 12-step methods. And that then allows you to not need to use a drug or an external anything to solve that deeper inner problem because you don't have it anymore because you've spiritually fulfilled yourself. But for me, I'm what they call struck sober. So in that moment, I've had a full spiritual alignment and like rearrangement of emotional being. And I did a lot now. Don't get me twisted. I did so much work for the next 2 full years, every single day, undoing everything I'd done, undoing everything I'd ever known, and working on my spiritual recovery diligently. That's all I did. I dismantled everything. So, but the actual experience, the spiritual experience of having a connection with my higher power and having that faith be just gifted to me like that happened in a split second. And I do know that it can come like that because it happened to me, or it can come over time. But I can also tell you that for me, I have to maintain that every single day because my ego is very strong.
So, yeah, it's so interesting. I love that you talk about diligently doing the work. And I love how you also brought up the ego, and I love that you also brought up the maintenance, because I think when I experienced, and I just think this whole world is really interesting, because there's so many dualities. Because when I first realized about this whole soul connection, and the way I would describe it, soul connection and connection to, source or whatever, to the universe or however you want to describe it, I was like, oh, okay, well then. This is really funny. I guess this is kind of part of my personality, but I was like, okay, cool. Well, then that means I don't really have to do much. It's funny because I went from and you were describing it so beautifully, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna, before the whole going to AA, you're like, I'm gonna do this myself. I'm gonna build this business. I'm gonna crush it. And that's me as well. I'm gonna make this happen. Very self-reliant as well. I don't need anyone else. I never need to get support in any kind of way from other people. I'm just gonna do it all myself. And so when then there was the spiritual connection for me and reconnection to, I guess, source, I was like, oh, okay, does that mean then I could just kind of be hands off, and then you just sort of it just sort of all happens for you? And I guess you like I think about Buddhists and stuff, and I think about I don't know, I think about maybe a monk who's sitting on their mountaintop, and there is that kind of being potentially being able to hands just let go and just let whatever happens. And I think there is potentially people who but I think what I rediscovered was I was like, no, not that's not quite it, because it's like there's also the human who is being built, and it's like the human is also, what's the right word, is like also needs to be constructed, so there's the soul part and the spiritual part and the source part, but then there's also the human that matters. And I was watching one of your Instagram stories, and you were I don't know, this was a couple, maybe a week ago or something, and you were saying I woke up at 3:30 in the morning, and I've done this, this, and this, and this, and this. And I was thinking, yeah. And I was thinking to myself, the thing is, a lot of people, they would tell themselves no, I'm connected to source, or I'm just running this business, but they wouldn't necessarily do the seven things that you did it since 3:30 in the morning. Now, we're not saying that people have to wake up at 3:30 in the morning, right? But what I mean by that is, I think it's easy to then get complacent. It's you can go down that line, lane of oh, cool, then that means I could just sort of sit back. But what I think you were just describing is you did the work for those 2 years, and it was deep work. And even now, and you continue to maintain through doing certain things that keep you connected to source. That's like kind of what I'm gathering. So I'd love your take on that, like anything that shows up for you around that.
Yeah, I mean, even in Buddhism, and you're talking about the monk on the hilltop, he's doing a ton of work. I mean, that's spiritual action, right? And spiritual action to me genuinely just means taking action to connect with the source of what you are. Because ultimately, when you take those actions to be in relationship with the thing that created you, you then consequently you come into relationship with yourself because it's what you are. But what is a relationship? Like, I know for me, a relationship is communication, right? It's I'm talking to you and I'm listening to you. And so there's a dialogue. And I think the easiest thing to get stuck on, like you said, the complacency, it's like a total unintentional complacency because you think to
Of course.
yourself, well, here's the truth. I am an extension of this thing. So actually, you are always connected. Obviously, you are it. However, if you tell yourself, I believe, okay, that's great, but do you have a relationship with it? There's a big difference between believing, saying you believe, and trusting and relying on that thing and having a relationship with it and letting go of the reins and letting it dictate actually what you do in your life. That's trust and reliance. That's faith. And it's based off of spiritual action.
That is so interesting because I couldn't agree more. It's like it's one thing to be able to hear or to notice like the feeling and the nudges and like go do this, go try this, go contact this person, go make this happen, do this with your child, like whatever it might be, anything. It's a very different story to actually follow through on that because it might be that you're uncomfortable, that you're tired, that you're scared, that it's bringing up some of your old stuff, that you're getting like, you mentioned to your about your husband, you were like, when you told him you were going to go to AA, he was like, oh, are you sure? And it's so funny because I had this like nudge come through like a month or two ago, and I've been like working on doing all the things to basically bring it to fruition. And it's the biggest, scariest thing I've ever done. And I've been doing scary things for 10 years, like, but this is like that next level, and there's always another level, right? And I told my husband, and I was like, I just want to share this with you, like what's going on, whatever. And he was like, what do you want from me? He's really smart. He's like, what do you want from me around this? And I was like, I said to him, it's like, I know, it's like, I don't need your approval and I don't want your approval. I guess I just wanted to share it with you. And I don't know what he said, but the irony was like nothing that he could have said or not said would have done anything because ultimately all it meant was still having to trust in something bigger than me or trust in in my own soul connection, soul nudge, and just go for it without seeing any evidence, without seeing any proof. And so I think that's why, like, whether it's a small, tiny action or a big, huge ass mission, it's like, and anything in between, is like, you still have to choose courage. You still have like, and I love that Shoshana's like tagline is like living brave because like you still have to be brave, like And so I guess this is, I'm really curious to hear this part because it's like that Instagram story where you were like, I've been up since X o'clock and I've been doing all these things. And I think in the video you said, maybe I'm paraphrasing, and so you can let me know if that's not quite it, but it felt this like you were saying, look, there's like a big difference between. Like they you I think you said something like when you're truly on fire and when you're truly connected, you are moving a million miles an hour and you are taking a lot of action, and it doesn't feel super heavy and super tiring. It's just like what you're meant to actually feel like you're meant to feel so energized and alive that like it's not like it's hard, like it's hard and it's not hard, if you know what I mean. So I'd love your take on that.
Yeah, so I thank you for bringing this up. And it's crazy because I think, I don't even know if this was the same one. I'm sure it was when I was in Costa Rica. Yeah. And I mean, I think I had done I don't even know, like a podcast. I had done a training. I had cooked breakfast. I'd meditated for an hour. I went on a 7 mile walk. Like I literally did so many things. And it's easy when you are a container, like when you're a vessel for that life to move through you, as opposed to you trying to be that those actions. You know what I mean?
I
It's
actually
like,
do know what you mean.
yeah, it's you're trying to exert energy as opposed to letting the energy flow through you. And I think, like, when you were just talking about taking courageous actions and doing things based off of the nudges that you're getting from, source, I think it goes even further above that, though, because yes, those actions are scary and you're going to do them, hopefully, regardless of what somebody else thinks about you, right? That's crossing the chasm of what other people think about you. It's essential. But also, in order to not feel as though these actions become like work, right? Like now all of a sudden, this is work. This is hard work. Now, it is hard work, but it shouldn't have to feel like you want to resist it now. Like, I don't even want to do it anymore because it's just too much, right? So, what's the difference? And to me, the difference really is taking that time to, like I was just talking about, building that relationship with my higher power, not just by taking the actions that it tells me to do, but by sitting and listening, which is meditation, right? And actually talking to it and asking it for what it wants for me, as opposed to me always telling it what I want, right? Because that's where I think I was stuck. I was exerting all of this force on life instead of letting life flow through me. So I'm telling God basically what I want. And I'm coaching God. I'm like, I'm gonna give you two choices. Like, okay, it's gonna be this or that. Which one? And then I don't wait. And then I go, okay, thanks. Whatever. I'm God, right? I'm playing God. That's so hard. That is so hard because it's not true. And it just ultimately puts me into a place of self-destruction because it's like you were talking about being self-reliant. That's ego, right? And so now all of a sudden, ego is full-blown, taken over control. That's destruction. It's not creative because you're no longer co-creating with the creator. So how can that be creative? So for me, I have to. It is essential for me to take time every single day to pray and to meditate. And I'm not just praying for what I want. I'm praying for the will of my higher power. And I do that before every call. I do that before I go on walks. I do it before I go walk into a wedding, right? Like I do it before I go into the bank. I try as hard as I can to ask for the will of my higher power so that I'm taking action from that place at all times. And it becomes not just a lifestyle, but a perspective. So that's why when I take actions, it feels so good because I am constantly, constantly working to be in flow. And not just when I'm sitting on my computer writing and truly like feeling like, oh, time is nothing. Like that's a beautiful thing. But also in the rest of my life, I have to be practicing that exact same thing. And it again, like, for me, stems from the beginning part, the basics, going back to the basics, not just doing, not just continuously doing and seeing how all that goes. Oh, no, I need to make sure that I am connecting with my higher power through meditation and prayer so that I am discerning during the day as to what is my ego and what is my soul.
It's so true. And I guess it's like there's just so much resonance. Like I feel very similarly. It's like, 'cause it's like a current, very ongoing conversation. And for me, up until now, it's more been like almost like if you could have a conversation with through feeling. That's how it that's the texture that I experience it as. But there probably is like some thought as well. Like there's probably some level of conversation, but I think it's exactly what you're describing. And then what you said is so true. It's like then it's so like that discernment between, wait a second, is this soul? Like, or is this, and like going back and forth. So I'm really curious, but I always ask this question because I think I have a real fascination with it. Is so Especially now we've got kids, right? It's like I can now clearly see that, you grow up and you've got, you're 1 year old and like your parents are telling you things. So like you're like, what's money? You're like at a supermarket and they're like, money is this. And they're literally giving you, implanting like what they believe, for example, money is. oh, what's time? And they're just implanting time. What's this? And they're, like, what about people? What about strangers? And they're like implanting all these beliefs. And I see it now with like my 1.5-year-old, my 4-year-old. Like, he asks me these questions, and I'm always so accurate. I do my best to be as accurate and open about my answers, because I know that even just through an answer, that already restricts it. And there's already some level of, because, now it's no longer this open possibility, potentiality. Now, like, just through language, you've already like modeled it. But I guess I'm curious for you, especially these days at this stage where, you've got your clients coming through, things feel so like flow and much more soul lined. And what I experienced from your Instagram is just like so alive and so connected and so on purpose. How much work do you do these days on your beliefs? Because this is where I feel like there's almost, and I'd love to hear your take on this, but it almost feels like they're two different things, because it feels like there's soul, and obviously they're all one and the same as well, but it feels like there's soul, and then it feels like there is the vessel, and the vessel, it feels to me like, has been conditioned by how you grew up and like what people said to you, and that conditioning then, it feels like it creates like an imprint on your then experience of life and the results that you experience in that. So again, all this stuff feels like it kind of like goes like all together, and I know you know what I mean, but I guess I'm curious to you, like, do you do like belief work, and do you look at currently, and do you look at like your conditioning, and yeah, like how those current constructs and paradigms and beliefs are framing your lens, and your view of life?
Okay, such a good question. And no, like short answer, no, I do not, because I don't compartmentalize anything when it comes to spirituality, because like you said, it's all spiritual, right? So what I had to do and what I did do and what I continue to maintain, right, is clearing out. Okay, so what I was able to do for those 2 years when I talk about the healing work was I was able to completely shift my past experience of life. So I was able to heal that. And that's what I call healing. Like to me, there's actually an end to healing. And then there's the evolutionary process that takes over and you maintain that healed state, right? Like you are healed, you're whole. So the whole point of life is just to peel back everything else that's not and to expose the wholeness and to maintain that. And the way that you maintain it is by discerning what's ego, what's soul, right? What's fear, what's love. That's really the difference. And walking one way or the other and seeing things through one perspective or the other. And so all of the work that I do with people, all the work that I do with myself, but ultimately, like it's something that can be as concise as 2 years of work, for example, and then maintaining it on a daily basis. But all of the work I do with people is shifting that perspective from one of mind to one of soul so that you're able to have this higher lens, this spiritual lens, which is the truth, right? Like it's a true lens. It's a truth filter. And you see the world through that lens, which is going to completely affect the way you feel about things, right? This is how you know it's a perspective. Somebody else could have the same experience and feel completely different about it, right? But it affects the way that you feel about everything, the way that you react to it, and then thus, through those reactions, those behaviors, the results that you reap in your life. And so all of the work on belief, right? What is belief anyway? Belief is just your perspective. It's like, what was your past experience of life? Your past experience of life is actually what gives you the perspective you hold today, right? And the perspective that you hold of life today gives birth to all of your thoughts, to all of your emotions, right? All of your behaviors, and then all the results. And so if we could change your past, we could technically change the way that you see everything in your perspective of life today. We cannot change your past, but I know for a fact, because I've gotten to do it for myself and I do it with my clients, you can change your perspective of your past.
That's spot
When
on.
you effectively do that, when you do it effectively, you heal, right? And then when you are here today and you've done all of that work and you continue to do it, right? When things come up, you clear that perspective out. There are ways to do this. And you just take that 5 minutes to do it and to again trust and rely and ask your higher power for the will of it, and to follow that to the best of your abilities. When you do that, you don't have to work on your beliefs anymore because that is your belief, right? Your belief system is right there. And everything that you are, all of the abundance, all of the, if we're talking about like scarcity mindset, things that come from the past experience of life that affect you now. Well, if you shift your entire perspective from one of mind, which is fear-based, right? Scarcity, to one of soul, which is love-based, which is abundance, then you don't need to compartmentalize and continuously have things to work on. Now, is it fun sometimes to just go, okay, I just read Existential Kink and I'm going to do these exercises? Hell yeah, that's fun. That's fun, right? But that's what gets to happen is methods, modalities, Reiki, all of these things, they're no longer the key. They're no longer the thing that's going to fix me. They are just fun and they elevate my evolution. They don't, they're not, I don't need them. I get to do them because they're there for me to have fun with. And to get into even more of a connection with my higher power.
It's so interesting because I think when I first started like 10 years ago and like or maybe it was about 11 years ago, like with the initial sort of, I don't know, shift or whatever, I was doing a lot of like belief work, and I would describe it now as healing work because of what you just described is like I had past experiences. I felt certain ways about those past experiences, and it's almost like when you've got like a wound and you still feel the sting of it. And then I did the belief work, and I did like a lot of journaling work for me personally, and I found I would feel what I felt, and but also I saw it from a different lens, and I saw it from a much more compassionate lens to, for example, my dad and my mom, especially my dad. And I was like, I was healed in the sense that it was like I now understood why he was the way that he was and why he said the things that he said. And so actually, like I really genuinely just like felt so I don't know, like really sorry for him. It almost brings me to tears now. And then it was like beyond that, and then you, I'm sure you've experienced this, where it's like my dad used to make fun of me a lot and like ridicule me, like I'll do a lot of jokes at my expense and stuff, like my whole life, like every single day of like, my childhood or whatever. And then I did the work, and then I realized why he did that. And then one time after this work, I remember I was going to the South of France because they're based kind of there. And he made a joke at my expense, and I said, "Oh, that's re I feel really hurt by that." I had never said that in my life to him. And he was like, "Oh," and it really like almost like destabilized him. I would never have said that if I hadn't done that healing work. And then he was a bit like really like kind of surprised for a second, and also kind of sorry. And he has never like maybe there's been a moment, but I cannot remember him like then doing another like joke at my expense, trying to ridicule me, trying to mock me. And if it did do it, I probably said something like in the kind of similar vein to that. So it what you're saying, I feel like is so true, is like our relationship is not even the same relationship. And he's not the same person to me that he was back then. But that's because I shifted. And so then like what you were just describing, it's like when your perspective shifts, it's not that you're trying, it's not where you're trying to continue to change beliefs. It's more just like, yeah, but now it's just different anyway. And you're not holding anymore. So like there's no need for it. And also there's just this complete kindness and compassion, and it's like there's no more resistance, and so it just leaves. It feels like it just dissolves on its own. So I think that was so true. And it's so true because like I was noticing in the last few years, it's been way less and less and less about belief work and more and more about more just like connection to like whatever we want to describe it, source or whatever, energy, consciousness. And that is almost enough, if you see what I mean. And but I have noticed myself sometimes being like, it's so interesting though, like because I used to like what you were describing, like I used to really love that belief work, but now anytime I kind of get to doing it, it just feels a bit, it lands a bit flat, and it never used to land flat. So I just find it really interesting when you're describing that. I guess I'm curious, What do you think about, and maybe it'll bring it back to the same thing, and that's perfectly fine as well, but like, what do you think about the ideas around, like, for example, you know, Tony Robbins talks about like raising your standards, and like when you raise your standards, you change your life, like that sort of vibe. When you think about things like that, and to me, when I hear that, I hear like characteristics, and I hear about like human traits and like building. Yeah, like building resilience and build like increasing your raising your standards. For you, when you hear that, like what comes to mind for you?
I'm so glad. I was like, I know she's gonna ask a question that is like perfectly tailored to what I want to say right now. And it's so funny because Tony Robbins is like such a fundamental piece of what I'm about to say. So I started with Tony, and like this was before I got sober, before I, you know, had a connection with a higher power, before I had any faith, before I knew myself, and was really willing everything, you know, like I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna make this happen, I'm gonna make something of myself. And then I, you know, went through this whole ego death and this whole phase of de-armoring, right? So basically, I'm this for such a long time, I'm building this identity, right? When I'm a child, I'm building this identity that I like, I'm building it unconsciously. It is completely born of fear, and it's becoming more and more rigid, right? It's all defense because ultimately I was coping with things the only way that I knew how to. Because when you're a child, you do not have the ability usually to cope well. And to cope well to me means to really rely on something bigger, right? And so I did what I knew to do, which was to create defenses, and that became armor. And I became very attached to it. And so people like Tony Robbins really helped me to like get that identity even more rigid. Like, yeah, I know more now. And now I'm really able to like pinpoint what you're doing wrong and really validate myself and to see why I'm right even more, justifying bad behaviors and misaligned behaviors more. So then I go through the process of healing, de-armoring, right? Taking this off, peeling it all off, peeling back the layers of defensiveness, neutralizing all of this anger, all of this resentment from the past, dissolving the darkness, right? And exposing this really soft, tender, juicy place within, which is why, like, if you see like a little orange symbol, like on my Instagram, even, I just, an orange is just so soft and like fleshy and juicy. And I just, that's what I think of as my expression of my soul. Like, that's what I think of, right? So now I'm raw. I'm like totally exposed. I don't know what's up, what's down. And I also, now I am connecting to my higher self. I am feeling like I'm connected to my true self, my soul. And I'm like learning about Buddhism, just for example, right? And I'm like, I shouldn't be attached to anything. I just, that's a bad thing. That's bad, bad, bad. But what I've learned is that, like, for example, the Dalai Lama loves TV, okay? Loves it. And the whole point of Buddhism and all of the things that they teach, and I think a lot of people get this mixed up, isn't not to have like a like for these things. It's don't get attached to it. He could take or leave the TV, but he still watches TV, but he could take it or leave it. It doesn't create suffering for him. So now I'm on this, you know, and this is the evolutionary part of it, right? I've gone from a suit of armor to now becoming my own greatest work of art. And it's really like, you know, God, now I am allowing myself to be a vessel, but now I'm allowing things like Tony Robbins to come back in. And I get to play with this, right? Because I am now building a new identity that I am not attached to. It's born of love, it is consciously created, and it is my work of art because I am a canvas and I'm co-creating with the creator. So it's the most amazing, fun thing ever. And I just get to be an expression of it. And I get to be what I was always intended to be, which is a path back to it for other people, just as every other human being, billions of us, there are billions of paths back to it. That's what I believe we're here to do.
I This is why I love to do the podcast, because I love hearing language. I'm really like, I find it, I guess I just find it, I feel like it's almost like a communication to like a higher source. Like I find, you were saying like now I've come back. It's so funny because me too. I like heard, it's so funny because now I see it differently. Like, whereas before I was like, I need, like, it was kind of like putting him on a pedestal, Tony Robbins on a pedestal, and it was like, I almost like need this to whatever. Whereas now it's much more like that's one of many modalities and people, and I don't have the attachment to him, but to anyone else, like any other mentor, coach, or course creator or author that I might be of interest. Like, it's just more just sort of like you use some really lovely metaphors. It's like when you go to the restaurant and you're just like, there's a huge menu and you can like pick and choose, but also you're just a bit like, it's, it's fine as well. Like, I don't need it. Yeah. And having that like spaciousness between, and it's so good what you said about like, yeah, it's not that you can't have, what's that little book? I think there's a book called, I want to say it's like Pocket Full of, is it Pocket Full of Money or Pocket Full of something? Anyway, and it talks about the difference between preference and attachment. And it's like, yeah, like you can have a preference for things. You just don't need to be attached to it. And I think I mean, I feel like there is a lot there. Like, I feel like there's a lot of lived experience in that, like to not tr try is not the right word, but to start practicing that, like kind of like yoga, you're practicing it. But you also said like, now I'm cre constructing a work of art, or this, what I'm paraphrasing, I'm constructing a work of art. I'm like creating this like masterpiece. That's my own word. And you said like, now I'm like this blank canvas and I'm cre constructing or creating this new identity, but it's from a place of love. And I would actually love to hear a little bit more about that. Like, because I think I'm fascinated by both, like, and I, of course, because it's all the same, right? But like, I guess is that, like, for example, I notice myself, I do this thing called F45, which are these like amazing workout classes, and they're really like, they really stretch you, they really push you. And what I've noticed for me is like, when I'm just doing like a workout at home, and I've done, having two kids, I've done a lot of those on YouTube, daily workout. I've gone back now that my 1.5-year-old is like old enough for me to be able to like leave the house for a certain amount of time. And I didn't really do the pumping thing in formula, so he was breastfeeding the whole time. Anyway, and so now I'm back to the, and I'm like, I love this. I love feeling the stretch, but not because of the outcome it brings, besides making me feel more alive throughout the whole rest of the day, but more because of when I'm there. The stretch, the push, the challenge feels really like this for me is something, And I think I would feel the same way as similar to business, where you feel like, wow, this is stretching me. Like, I've never, let's say, spoken to 1,000 people, or I've never run this size of an event, or I've never created this or that. Or I remember when I made, I had a hardcover, like vegan leather journals made, and I was like, I have no idea where to even begin with this. This was pre like ChatGPT and stuff, and I was like doing all this research and watching videos and doing all the things, and it felt like, oh my God, this is a stretch. And it was stretched financially as well, because I was like paying all this huge investment prior to like all the things. So I think I love the canvas analogy that you were describing, like fine tuning, not fine tuning, that's not the right word. It's almost like, how good can I make this canvas? And that's kind of how I view it, but I'd love to hear your sort of language on that.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it is just now I get to be creative. I get to be truly creative. So, for a long time, when I was in deeply immersed in healing, I like renounced Tony Robbins, just for an example. I mean, I use him, but it was really personal development as a whole genre. I mean, I completely renounced it. I was like, I will not read another personal development book for as long as I live. And I thought I meant that. But, and you know what? For me at the time, that was a very healthy thing to do because my whole MO was to learn. I didn't know this. Looking back now, I realize that time was necessary to renounce all of that because I needed to learn discernment. I needed to learn what was the will of my higher power and what was my ego. And I needed to put my ego completely on the back burner as much as humanly possible for that time so I could learn and then slowly bring it back in and play with it. Right? Because the ego is your personality and it's there for a reason. Like your human is there for you to be a canvas. And so I get to work with the ultimate creator, right? Like the thing that created me in the first place and wants to use me as that canvas. And I get to pull in now, you know, Tony Robbins and Shoshana and Alex Benayan and the Gene Keys and whatever the heck I want, because I get to, because it lights me up. And then, like you said, that's like, that is the process of creation and flow, and all of these things start coming together to form ideas, big ideas that are obviously being co-created, and they're terrifying because they're huge, because I'm huge, right? Like, because we are the most infinite. I mean, we are infinite. That's what we are. So when you think about that and you think about how infinite you are, it's going to be matched by uncertainty. So yeah, like the challenge of facing the uncertainty of the reality of full potentiality, the limitlessness of your nature, right? That's going to be terrifying no matter how you look at it. And the way that that manifests through you is going to be different than it is for anybody else. And so your big ideas are going to be different than mine. And yet they're still going to be terrifying because you don't know what the outcome is going to be. But the whole point is for us to be in connection with our higher power so that we can move through that fear with faith that one way or the other is going to work out. And maybe not now, maybe not in the way we thought, but eventually you look back and you go, oh my God, like I wanted this business. I wanted clients. I wanted to make at least $10,000 a month, right? Like these things now just feel like easy. I wanted to feel good about what I was doing. I wanted it all. I wanted my soulmate husband. I wanted my kids. And I wanted to be able to spend quality time with all of them. And I wanted to feel creative. And I wanted to feel like I didn't have to do any of it. And so I have this big idea 10 years ago. I have no idea what that's going to entail. And I realize now that it never could have come to this place that it's at now, that I'm at now. I could never be doing what I'm doing just by having the belief that I could do it. It was by doing, it was by taking action all of the time. And through all of that action, becoming the person that does it. Right. Like I could have done this, you know, 10 years ago, and I tried. I tried to have a podcast. I tried to do all these things and I did them, but I had to fail consistently, not looking at it as if it was failing. It was like, this is gonna eventually work. Right. And just continuously doing the actions that were most in alignment with my eventually higher power. And then looking in the rear view and going, oh my God, this was never about the actual mission. I'll pick up right.
So you were saying, Dana.
So I learned that this was never, literally never about building the best business. Oh my gosh, let me start. Hold on. Okay. So what I know now is that this was never about building the business. It was about who I had to become to do it.
Who I had to become to do it. And I think that's the beauty of it. Like when you then realize, like, oh my God, I've transformed through all of that action, through all of that courage, through all that movement, like I've become who I am today. And they talk about, so many people talk about like the journey, and then also obviously like the person that you become. And when you're in your ego, you don't care about that. You're like, I don't care about that. I just want the outcome. But when you're in your power and you're in connected to source, you're like, yeah, that's all that matters. And like that's the pure beauty of it. All right. So what we're gonna do, Dana, is like, oh, I just feel like people are gonna be so curious to like know much more about like your world. What's the one place that people need to go to if they wanna discover you and find out more all about your work and your world?
Thank you. And you can go to Instagram and find me at Daring to Be Dana. And you know, I have the Modern Day Healer everything. So the Modern Day Healer is my brand. We have the podcast, but we also have, do you mind if I share what we've got going
I'd
on?
love
Like,
that.
okay, awesome. So you won't see it anywhere, but if you are interested, please DM me. We have our whole new group year-long container. It's the modern day healer experience, and the whole point of it is to become, right, to have the genuine experience of life that we've been talking on this podcast the entire time, to have the experience of being the example of basically the possibilities that are available to other people when you do the work and when you are connected to source. Because ultimately, right, at this point in the game, we are facing either a commodity coaching economy where everybody is interchangeable with the other, or it's premium coaching, which is wisdom coaching. And you can only get there by having the experience of being connected to that source energy, which is wisdom. And it's not something you can manufacture. It's not something you just think about and know and learn and say. It's stuff that you have to do the spiritual action on to work through and to live, right? It's a perspective. And so that's the modern day healer experience. And again, we have, oh my gosh, we have the best women in that group. And I'll just logistically speaking, very quickly say that it's not like a mastermind. Okay. So it's mostly focused on, we do these group healing sessions, and it's a lot of coaching, right? So this is perfect for the person who isn't trying to just come in, ask a question, get it answered. It's like, we are working together through the process of implementation together. So it's all practical application. There is some good structure, but the structure is meant for you to find your path, because ultimately, my path won't work for you, and neither will somebody else's. But guess what will work? You finding your own. And then it's like it just multiplies in itself. That's how we help other people, is they find you, they try your path, and some of it works for them. And then ultimately, they find their way back home to themselves. They have their own blueprint. They then become appealing to somebody else who is attracted to their way of doing it. And this is how we all lead each other back to the source. And this is what I genuinely believe we were all created for. So that is the modern day healer experience. It's a year long. And I'm like, yeah, deeply, deeply devoted and obsessed. So contact me if you want to be a part.
I love that. I mean, and I'm glad you're doing at least a year, like at least, because I feel like it does like really take being in that space and being so immersed. So I'm so excited about people like diving in and maybe sending you a DM and also just like rediscovering your world and Instagram and just getting deeper into everything that you share. It's such like a flowy, like incredibly high vibe space. So I can't wait for people to discover. I'll put it in the show notes, you guys, so that you can find Dana and you can jump right onto her Instagram and check out all about her programs and her work and her world. And I just want to say a massive thank you to you, Dana, for like being here and just sharing all of your wisdom. It's been so beautiful and so valuable. So thank you.
Thank you, Olivia. You're amazing. And this was an amazing conversation.
It's been so good. I feel like I've been in my own little like bubble. It's been crazy, which often happens with a podcast. Anyway, so thank you so much. And for those of you guys who are listening or watching, I can't wait to see you guys for the next one. Have an insane rest of your day, and I'll see all of you guys very soon. Bye.